shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A dump truck plows through a Johnson County intersection, knocking down stoplights and causing major damage. What we're learning about the driver, who police say is now in custody.
And we are dry to close out the week, but a weather alert day for us tomorrow. I'll go over the updated severe potential and timing coming up.
North Carolina's largest craft beer festival gets underway in Raleigh today. We're walking you through everything you need to know about Brugaloo. Where to go while you're there, what to avoid if you're not going there, right, downtown. I'm Jeff Hogan. Good to have you with us here on a Friday.
And I'm Renee Chu. Great to have you with us. We do have that weather alert day that we want to tell you about for tomorrow to get you prepared. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione in for Elizabeth today. Anthony.
Guys, we've seen the Storm Prediction Center update this severe risk this morning. So this is fairly new news as far as the weather is concerned. What they've done is they've taken this level 2 risk, you see that yellow showing up on the map, and pushed it a little bit further to the west. And so this includes more of the triangle, in fact, all of the triangle, and more of our viewing area. They have also added an isolated tornado potential, mainly from about the triangle up to the north and east, where that greatest potential is going to be. Let's walk through Futurecast. This is the updated model as well. There's 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. We likely will see a few light showers to start the day up until about lunchtime as well. But the severe potential really doesn't get going until we head into tomorrow afternoon. There is 10 a.m. scattered showers, maybe a few rumbles of thunder at this point, but look how much it fills in into the afternoon. Right about lunchtime, any one of those pockets you see too starting to get going there that has that pink showing up, that would be that hail potential. That would also be that rotation potential as well. It slowly starts to move out of here, and late tomorrow evening we are looking at a drier forecast by about 6 to 7 p.m. or so, but just make sure to stay weather aware here as we go into tomorrow. I'll talk about our forecast for today and the rest of the weekend here coming up in just a few minutes, guys.
All right, thanks, Anthony. Cleanup continues this morning at a busy intersection in Johnston County after a dump truck plowed into several stoplights, causing $75,000 worth of damage. WRAL's Nia Harden joins us live from Smith Creek Road in Smithfield with what she's learned about the driver and how this will impact some folks' morning commutes. Nia?
Jeff, let me first say this. This is still a big mess. Highway 70 is back open again, but you can tell that it's pretty limited. The lanes that you have open are left to one lane, so you can see drivers coming down here, and you can tell that they're having to be very careful because of all of the linemen that are here, the crews that are trying to get this all cleaned up. As we're looking at traffic lights that are right now on the ground, we see lots of broken poles. All of this, as we know, that crews are still hoping to have Swift Creek open by 6 o'clock tonight. In the middle of rush hour, the dump truck driver accused of the hit and run is now in custody after returning to the scene. Investigators say the driver plowed into traffic poles that landed on 6 cars. The driver kept going while dragging traffic lights for more than a block. One driver says he saw what happened and that he had to react fast.
I said, "Oh Lord, what in the world are you doing?" And about that time, he went through the light there, and I was pulling back. And when it hit, I saw it coming towards me, and I just hit brakes, and everything fell right and dead in front of my truck, and hit the truck right on top up there, and hit my bumper.
Now, thankfully, no one was hurt in this, but damages total up to $75,000, if not more, according to troopers. Of course, we are still waiting to get that information on what charges that that driver may face. We'll continue to keep you updated. Nia Harden, WRAL News in Johnston County.
WRAL is working to learn more about a shooting involving a child. Our breaking news tracker was on the scene hours ago on Johnsdale Road in Raleigh. Investigators say it happened just after 8 Thursday night. Police tell us the child was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. As of right now, they have not released the child's name, nor what led to the shooting. We do know that officers are not looking for a suspect.
A Gaston County man accused of shooting a 6-year-old girl and her parents will be in court today for an extradition hearing. Investigators say Robert Singletary turned himself in to authorities near Tampa, Florida, Thursday afternoon. He's accused of firing shots after a basketball rolled into his yard on Tuesday. Witnesses say Singletary yelled at a group of kids as they tried to get that ball. One parent made a comment towards the suspect before he went inside, got his gun, and started shooting. The victims are expected to be okay.
The Supreme Court faces another self-imposed deadline today that could determine the fate of the main pill used for medication abortions. The court is expected to decide today whether to uphold a lower court's ruling that would restrict access to mifepristone. Both the Justice Department and the company that makes the drug are asking the court to step in after a Texas judge issued a block of the FDA's previous approval of the pill. The justices are scheduled to meet for a private conference today.
New developments out of Washington, D.C. this morning. We have learned when President Joe Biden will make his official reelection announcement. Biden's advisors say they plan to launch the campaign as early as Tuesday with a video message. April 25th marks the anniversary of Biden's 2020 campaign announcement.
Only on WREL, a Raleigh mother speaking out as her 14-year-old daughter is in the hospital recovering after being shot at McDougal Terrace. Natima Taylor believes she was set up and ambushed after being taken there by people her daughter thought were her friends. The shooting happened shortly before 2 a.m. on April 8th at McDougal Terrace, a neighborhood to which the mother says her child had never been.
They asked her, what did she have? And she said, I don't have nothing. He walked up to her and shot her. One put in a headlock and the other one put the gun to her stomach and the other one shot her in the hand.
Since that night, the 14-year-old has been in the hospital fighting for her life. Fortunately, she's no longer on a ventilator and is expected to recover. The family has set up a GoFundMe page to help pay for hospital expenses. Police have not made any arrests.
Bills that would ban students who identify as transgender from playing girls' sports are gaining steam. The state Senate approved its own version of the legislation yesterday, one day after the House passed one. The Senate bill would ban anyone assigned male on their birth certificate from competing on girls' teams. LGBTQ advocates say that the bill is legalized discrimination against transgender students who are already at an increased risk of suicide. Those in favor of the bill say polls show most people support a ban. Carolina Hurricanes look to take a commanding 3-0 lead in their opening round of the Stanley Cup playoff series with New York Islanders tonight. Face off with them out on the island after beating them twice at home in PNC Arena. They'll be playing tonight without star forward Teuvo Teravainen, who suffered a broken hand in Game 2. Puck drop for tonight's game, 7 o'clock.
North Carolina's largest craft beer festival is happening in Raleigh this weekend, and all the fun kicks off today. We're talking about Brugaloo. WRL's Laura Levine joins us live this morning from downtown, where thousands will have the chance to enjoy some good local beer. Laura, good morning.
Good morning, Renee. Yes, the state's largest craft beer festival is finally here. It officially kicks off right here on Fayetteville Street tonight with a block party. But if you are planning to head out tomorrow, you may need one of these. Yes, a rain poncho. Despite the forecast, though, event organizers say they are expecting this year to be bigger than ever. Now, typically, tens and thousands of people pack downtown Raleigh for the festival. And this year, more than 110 North Carolina craft breweries are participating. All of the music and artists are right here from the Triangle. Jennifer Martin, the event director, says they're working with RPD and a private security company to provide event safety, and they will have a contingency plan for the weather.
Saturday, we are looking at maybe potentially some showers, but good news, water and beer still go very well together. And so we will be happening rain or shine. In case of any lightning, there is a 30-minute delay. We just ask that you kind of seek some shelter for that time period, but we will resume and we are fully scheduled to go on as planned.
And as far as traffic goes, take a look at your screen right now. These streets on this map will be closed throughout the festival. There is, of course, plenty of parking available for this event. The event is free, but you can support vendors and food trucks and breweries on site by paying as you go, or you can purchase a wristband at the event this weekend. Laura Levine, WRL News. Right now, we're live in downtown Raleigh.
We're coming up on 440 right now, and police make more arrests in connection to a deadly mass shooting in Alabama. What we have now learned about the suspects behind bars as families continue to grieve their loved ones nearly a week later.
Plus, we'll explain how you can land a new job at RDU as the airport prepares for peak summer travel. And tomorrow is a WRL weather alert day. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione is tracking the timing of the storms and will explain the big concerns we have for severe weather.
from the WRAL Severe Weather Center, North Carolina's most experienced team of meteorologists.
Welcome back. I'm meteorologist Anthony Baglione in for Elizabeth, who has the morning off on this Friday. Let's start off here with where we sit this morning, because, of course, yesterday, definitely a warm forecast. We made it into the upper 80s. Today, more of the same, but it still is not going to come with much humidity for us out there. It is a very calm picture. We overlook our camera here in Apex. Look how nice and dry the roads are. It's going to be just a warm one out there for everyone. We are starting off at 62 in Raleigh, 54, one of our cooler spots. Good morning to in Roxborough, 58 in Clinton, 59 degrees in Goldsboro as well. Today, keep the water handy. It's going to be another one with those temperatures right about 86 this afternoon at 4 o'clock. All of that sunshine, but things start to change a little bit here as we head into tomorrow. We'll walk you through here hour by hour our weather alert day coming up here in a few minutes.
Anthony, thanks. Six people are now facing charges in the deadly mass shooting in Alabama at a Sweet 16 party. The Alabama Law Enforcement Agency confirmed a 15-year-old was arrested last night. He joins a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 19-year-old, and 20-year-old who are facing reckless murder charges. Four people died and 32 others were hurt in that mass shooting Saturday night.
A top Democratic leader is calling for state lawmakers to hold hearings into the state's new digital court record system. The new e-court system was rolled out in four Triangle area counties back in February. It had a rocky first week, as we reported at the time, but court officials said that would improve as people learned the system. State House Democratic leader Robert Reeves says that hasn't been the case. He's an attorney, and he says he's never gotten as many calls about any issue as he has about problems with e-courts.
This isn't a matter of people just learning the system and it's going to be okay. These are people who are very capable, who understand the system, who have been trained, but they're just glitches in the system in their mind that they'd like to have a chance to express to a committee in the General Assembly.
Reeves said some of the problems are the same ones other states have had with the e-court software. He wants to slow down the statewide rollout of the system until the issues are fixed. E-court's maker, Tyler Technologies, declined to comment. A spokesperson for the state court system said they'll have a response today.
One of the Tennessee lawmakers expelled from the legislature after joining a protest against gun violence will be in Raleigh next week. Representative Justin Pearson will be the keynote speaker for the North Carolina Black Alliance's annual summit. That conference brings together black public officials in the state. It will be held April 27th and 28th at the Raleigh Marriott Crabtree Valley. Meanwhile, one of the leaders in the Republican caucus who voted to expel Pearson resigned last night. It comes after a local reporter uncovered an ethics inquiry into GOP Representative Scotty Campbell, who faced allegations of sexual misconduct. Mark your calendars. The Transportation Security Administration is hosting a recruiting event for full-time and part-time positions at RDU. The event takes place next Tuesday and Wednesday at the DoubleTree by Hilton Raleigh-Durham Airport at RTP. From 9 a.m. until 3, the current starting hourly rate for positions is $18.38. Candidates are required to have two valid forms of state or federal identification.
Raleigh is celebrating Earth Day today. As you look live right now, Dix Park and downtown Raleigh there, we're an event to help and celebrate the environment will be happening tonight. The city is hosting the free community event 5 to 10 p.m. tonight at the park. It'll feature Earth-conscious vendors and organizations. There'll also be live music, games, and other activities. The city will give out its environmental awards during the event. And the movie WALL-E will be shown starting at 8:15.
Several events in our area planned for this weekend are now rescheduled because of the threat of storms. In Raleigh, the American Cancer Society Relay for Life is postponed. It was supposed to be tomorrow night at Halifax Mall. WRAL's Brian Schrader is the event MC, and the new date for the Relay for Life is May 20th. But certainly the severe storms will put a dent in a lot of weekend plans. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione walks us through the timing of this WRAL weather alert day for tomorrow.
Yeah, so this is definitely going to be an important concern here for us as we go throughout our Saturday afternoon. This is the updated severe storm potential from the Storm Prediction Center. And so they look at all the ingredients that are in the atmosphere. And what they're saying is here that level two risk, that yellow shaded color contour, has been pushed a little bit further to the west tomorrow afternoon. This does include Raleigh. It includes includes Durham. It includes most of the triangle, or all of the triangle at this point. And then it does drop off as you head back to the west. What that's saying is damaging winds, an isolated tornado, and potentially even some large hail is what they're outlining are going to be a primary concern for us tomorrow. This is where we're looking at the best tornado chance tomorrow afternoon. And even at that, it is a very low end chance, but anytime there is that potential, I want to make you aware of that so you can prepare. This is mainly north and east of Raleigh and Durham for our northeastern counties would be the best chances here for some of those rotating cells as well. Let's talk about the timing. So we start off tomorrow morning with a few isolated showers, maybe a few rumbles of thunder as well. But for the most part, the severe potential doesn't get going until the afternoon. We bump this ahead to about lunchtime. There's some pockets here where some of this could be some pretty heavy rainfall, maybe some strong wind gusts as that pushes through. The main line itself should start to cross during the afternoon. You notice how that starts to kind of form a little bit of a line. It's still a bit discrete in some spots, but that's where we'll be watching for that severe potential. Late tomorrow afternoon and evening, this all starts to push out of here by about 7 to 8 p.m. We are looking good to go, and it should be a much drier forecast here and completely dry as we head into our Sunday. Let's talk about where we sit right now. There's a live look in Chapel Hill. It is a calm start this morning. Very, very mild. 62 in Raleigh, 62 in Durham. We're at 61 as well. Good morning to you in Fayetteville. Heading for highs today once again at about 86 degrees this afternoon. So that begs the question here. As the forecast looking for the Tar Heel 10-miler tomorrow morning, we are still looking at a pretty good forecast to start off with. A couple isolated showers still possible, but by the time we head later on in this event, the severe potential will still be minimal. So that's good news. We have of course, we'll be tracking that forecast here very closely as we head into tomorrow. Here's where we're headed the next couple of days. We're at 86 for us today, 74 that weather alert day as we head into tomorrow. Definitely some cooler temperatures, mid to upper 60s as we head into next week. So certainly going to be a big time change. Don't forget here with this severe potential tomorrow, if you do not already have the WRAL weather app, it's a very good time to download it. You can take it on the go, take it out with you this weekend. You can get any updates about any warnings, watches in your area. It's a really helpful tool. So just make sure to go ahead and download that here as we head into tomorrow, guys.
And Jeff's happy about that Tar Heel 10-miler. Storms will come later, so you can get your run in.
That's right. Everybody, there's thousands out there. We're going to make it.
Spring fun is here, and that means it's time for adventures and theme parks. But before you head to Carowinds, you'll want to check out the new chaperone policy. We'll explain how this might affect your child the next time they're at the park.
Plus, how you can help your community stay clean by taking part in some litter sweeps this weekend for Earth Day. Carowinds has a new chaperone policy for children starting this weekend. Anyone 15 and younger must have a chaperone who's at least 21. The policy applies from 4 p.m. until the park closes. The chaperone must show ID at the entrance and must be available by phone throughout their stay. Any kids who break this rule could be kicked out of the park. Carowinds says they need this new rule after an uptick in unruly and inappropriate behavior over the last 2 years. This past Sunday, a 13-year-old got stuck in a claw machine while trying to steal a prize. From inflation to unemployment, the worries about being laid up by an illness, having an emergency fund can help smooth out life's financial bumps.
Five on Your Side's Kelly Arthur explains how.
Saving up and then building an emergency fund might seem really daunting right now, but it really isn't as hard as you think, and it's so important.
Even if you have a steady paycheck, pay your bills on time and have a little left over to save. The unexpected can derail everything.
We've all experienced major financial emergencies, an unexpected home repair, medical bills, or even loss of income.
Emergencies can easily turn into major debt or even a full-blown financial crisis. Financial planner Nestor Vargas says stashing away enough to cover 3 to 6 months worth of essential expenses is a great rule of thumb.
Essential expenses are housing, food, transportation, debt repayment. And so what you want to do is you want to sit down, figure out how much that is on a monthly basis, multiply it times 3 or 6 to come up with the actual number you need to save for your emergency fund.
Then set your target and execute your plan.
Definitely important to start saving as much as you can or as little as you can. If it's $5, $10 a month, you'll be surprised how quickly that adds up.
An online savings calculator can show how much you'll need to set aside each month to reach your goal and how quickly that money will grow.
Consumer Reports suggests putting money into a high-yield savings bank or certificate of deposit. Many of those accounts now have interest rates over 4%.
While building emergency savings should be a priority, make sure paying down high-interest debt is a priority, too. If you have low-interest debt, find a balance between paying that down and putting the rest toward your emergency fund. Keely Arthur, 5 on your side.
And make saving easier by setting automatic deposits or transfers from your checking account to your emergency fund. It will keep your contributions on track and secure them until you need them.
As we spring clean our homes, it is important that we work to keep our communities clean as well. That's why the city of Dunn is hosting a litter sweep tomorrow. It kicks off 8:30 a.m. at City Hall, and volunteers will be given gloves, trash bags, and safety vests. The city is hosting the community cleanup with the county's Keep Harnett Beautiful campaign and the NCDOT litter sweep.
Friends of Johnson County Parks is also working to keep its community clean. In honor of Earth Day tomorrow, there will be a countywide litter cleanup effort. It starts at 9 and will run until noon. Cleanup locations include Archer Lodge, Clayton, Cleveland Community, Selma, and even Bentonville Battlefield. A dump truck plows into several stoplights, causing traffic problems for drivers in Johnson County. We're live on the scene with a look at how this may affect your morning commute.
And at 4:57 right now, we take a live look outside downtown Raleigh here as you watch WRAL News. Things pretty quiet right now. We do have a WRAL weather alert day for tomorrow. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione is tracking new developments this morning.
And a Gaston County man is behind bars this morning, accused of shooting a 6-year-old and her parents over a basketball that rolled into his yard. What we're learning about his arrest and what's expected to happen today.